Ava Torres thought she had every angle covered. Four lovers, four secrets, one lie that would net her everything she ever wanted: money, gifts, affection, and the power to keep them all on a leash. But when a simple paternity scheme spirals into obsession, suspicion, and the threat of exposure, she finds herself racing to stay ahead of the men she's deceived. Each one thinks he's the father. Each has something to lose. When one starts digging, Ava's world of calculated chaos threatens to implode. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. Ava Torres pressed the power button on her phone, the glow of the screen cutting through the half-light of her small apartment. Four unread messages, four different men. She had never planned for things to spiral like this, but with each soft confession, every trembling promise, the game got a little more dangerous and a lot more lucrative. She scanned the names. Marcus, the smooth-talking resident from the city hospital. Alex, whose last name came with inherited money and a weakness for beautiful complications. Jamal, a relentless entrepreneur who never took no for an answer. And Victor, the one who made her laugh even as he confessed his own brokenness. It started as a wild week, a blur of bad decisions and nights that bled into mornings. A lost job, a rent notice, and a string of impulsive choices. Ava was no stranger to tight spots, but the stakes had never felt this high before. Each man had given her something: attention, gifts, hope. Then came the pregnancy test, a single pink line that turned her world upside down. She should have picked one, come clean, and tried to rebuild her life. But desperation breeds creativity. So Ava did what she had learned from watching her mother survive. She played the odds. One by one, she sent each man a message, each version slightly altered to match their dreams, their egos, their fears. "I think you might be the father. I need you. Please don't leave me alone in this." Each word calculated, each pause practiced. By noon the next day, Marcus had sent money for prenatal care. Alex ordered a diamond on a loop. The streets were crowded, but her mind felt empty. Every step a final countdown to exposure. She arrived early, heart in her throat. The same table from before waited in the corner. Soon, all four men filed in: Jamal, Marcus, Alex, and Victor, each carrying the exhaustion of sleepless nights and unanswered questions. On the table was the envelope. Marcus had picked it up that morning, his hands trembling as he set it down. For a moment, no one spoke. The silence was suffocating. Ava tried to find her voice. "I know I've hurt you all. I never meant for it to get this far. I can't change what I did, but I can face it." Victor's eyes glistened with heartbreak. Jamal looked away, jaw clenched. Alex was unreadable, arms crossed, while Marcus seemed smaller, as if hope itself had drained from him. Jamal slid the envelope toward Ava. "You should be the one to open it." Her fingers shook as she tore the seal. She unfolded the single sheet, scanned the lines, and read the result aloud, voice barely steady. "Based on the genetic analysis, the biological father is Marcus Porter." A stunned silence fell. Marcus's face was a kaleidoscope of shock, relief, and regret. Jamal exhaled, shoulders sagging. Victor pressed his lips together and looked at the floor. Alex scoffed, pushing his chair back as if distance could protect him. For a moment, nobody moved. Then Marcus spoke. "Is it true? Is it really me?" Ava nodded, tears slipping down her cheeks. Real tears, stripped of pretense. "Yes, it's you. I'm sorry, Marcus. I lied to all of you, but you're the father." The words hung in the air, heavy and irreversible. Jamal broke the silence. You played with all of us, Ava. You made us believe, made us hope. Why? She shook her head. I was desperate. I lost my job. I was scared. I thought if I kept all the options open, I'd be safe. But all I did was hurt everyone, including myself. Victor's voice was quiet, raw. You could have just told the truth. Ava's shoulders shook. I know. I thought I was in control. But the truth was always bigger than me. Alex stood, straightening his jacket. I'm done. I hope you both get the help you need. He left without another word. Jamal was next, offering Marcus a hard, sympathetic nod before turning to Ava. We all lose here. I hope you figure out who you really are. Then he was gone, his footsteps echoing through the bar. Victor lingered, eyes sad but kind. Take care of yourself, Ava. Maybe this is your chance to start over. He touched Marcus's shoulder in silent solidarity and walked out into the sunlight. Now only Marcus and Ava remained, the DNA result between them. Marcus looked at her, his expression torn. I need time. I don't know if I can trust you again, but I'll be there for the child. That's the only promise I can make. Ava nodded, understanding. There was nothing left to say. The game was over. The truth, as always, had the final word. She left the bar alone, the city alive around her, every face in the crowd a stranger to her shame and her relief. She had lost the love and loyalty she tried to keep by force, but she had gained, in the most painful way possible, a chance at honesty, a clean slate, if she was brave enough to take it. That night, as rain fell once more and thunder rolled in the distance, Ava sat by her window. She felt emptier, but lighter. There would be no more roulette, no more lies, just the slow, honest work of rebuilding from the wreckage she'd made. Chapter 7. 3 weeks later, Ava stood in the waiting room of the OBGYN clinic, her palms pressed flat against the swell of her stomach. It was early yet, barely noticeable to anyone but her. Still, it was real now. Everything was, no more faking, no more pretending, just life, raw, uncertain and waiting. She sat quietly in the corner, unnoticed. The world hadn't stopped spinning when her secret came undone. The city moved on, indifferent to scandal. Her inbox still buzzed, bills still arrived, the streets still pulsed with ambition and heartbreak. But for Ava, everything had changed. She hadn't spoken to Marcus since the paternity results. Not because he'd vanished, but because he'd set boundaries. I'll support the child, he had said. But we need space. I don't know who you are yet. Maybe you don't either. Those words stayed with her, cut her, but they were fair. The nurse called her name. She moved slowly, deliberately, through the hallway to the exam room. Machines beeped softly. The doctor was kind, clinical, professional. The cold jelly on her stomach, the whirring ultrasound machine, then the sound that cracked something open in her chest, a heartbeat. It was steady. Sure. Alive, Ava closed her eyes. She had deceived four men, played them against each other, lied about everything that mattered. But this tiny pulse, was real. And it was hers. As she left the clinic, she saw Victor waiting by the entrance. He looked different, tired, maybe, but softer. She hadn't expected to see him again. I was nearby, he said. Figured I'd check in. I didn't think you'd want to see me. Ava smiled faintly. It's okay. I'm glad you came. They walked for a while in silence, past the bookstore where they once laughed over baby names, past the corner where Alex once picked her up in a luxury car, unaware he was just one of four. The memories came in waves, heavy but not unbearable. You look better, Victor said finally. I feel better. She replied, not proud, but better, like I finally know what's real. Victor stopped walking. I still think about it, Ava. About what could have been. I think part of me even wanted it to be mine. She looked at him, guilt and gratitude mingling in her expression. I know. I think I wanted that too. He nodded, then stepped back. Take care of yourself. And the baby. Marcus is a good man. Don't waste his trust if he gives it back. I won't, she whispered. They parted ways again, this time with no bitterness, just understanding. Ava returned to her apartment and began to pack boxes. She was leaving the city, starting over, somewhere quiet, with no tangled histories, no ghosts of the past. She texted Marcus later that night. Ava, first ultrasound today. Healthy heartbeat. I know we're not okay, but I hope you're proud. I'll send pictures if you want. The reply came hours later, short but honest. Marcus, thank you. I want to be involved. I'll call tomorrow. It wasn't forgiveness, but it was something. Before bed, Ava sat at her desk and opened a fresh journal. She wrote a single sentence across the first page. The truth is harder than the lie, but it doesn't unravel. Then she closed the book and stared out the window. There would be no dramatic ending, no perfect reconciliation, just the slow, uncertain climb back toward herself, toward the version of Ava who didn't need lies to be loved, and somewhere in her chest, under the guilt and the shame, was something new. Resolve. The roulette wheel had stopped spinning. Now, finally, she was ready to live with the result. Bracelet, promising more to come. Jamal paid her rent for the next 2 months. Victor showed up at her door with a bag of groceries, talking about names and futures. Ava watched it all unfold like a high-stakes card game. Each hand played with a steady nerve. She googled paternity fraud, reading about women who'd spun similar webs, some caught, some vanished with fortunes, a few even sent to prison. Real-world cases flashed by her screen, professional athletes hounded for child support by women they barely remembered, ordinary men ruined by a single lie. She saw herself in the details, never the victim, always the survivor, but every lie has a shelf life. Late that evening, Ava sat at the kitchen table, sorting through envelopes of cash and handwritten notes. A news alert flashed across her phone. DNA testing on the rise amid paternity scandals. She shivered, remembering how many stories ended with police, lawyers, and ruined reputations. There was a thin line between control and chaos, and Ava felt herself walking it. She looked up as her phone buzzed again. A new message, this time from an unknown number. You think you're clever, Ava, but games always end. See you soon. Her hands shook, just for a moment. Then she smiled. She wasn't done playing yet. Chapter 2. The morning sun spilled through thin curtains as Ava's apartment filled with the sounds of a world waking up, horns on the street below, a neighbour's radio, the staccato rhythm of her heart. She lingered in bed, relishing the illusion of control, each man's devotion buoying her as she drifted between dreams and dread. But today, a different feeling crept in, a tightness in her chest she couldn't shake. Maybe it was the message from the night before. You think you're clever, Ava. But games always end. See you soon. She scrolled through her texts, half expecting it to vanish like a bad dream. But it was still there. Anonymous. Untraceable. Her thoughts were interrupted by Victor's knock at the door. She checked her reflection, ran her fingers through her hair, and fixed a soft, worried smile before opening up. Victor stood there with his boyish grin and a bouquet of sunflowers, his brown eyes shining with an earnestness that made Ava's stomach twist. Good morning, Mama, he teased, handing her. The flowers. How are my girls doing? He meant her and the imaginary baby. his belief was absolute. Ava ushered him in, slipping into the role of anxious mother-to-be with practiced ease. "Better now," she said. "Thank you for coming. I needed company." They sat in the kitchen, Victor babbling about his childhood and all the things he wanted for their family. Ava nodded, humming with guilt and anticipation. She felt the urge to confess, but that was a luxury she couldn't afford. Not yet. Her phone buzzed. A message from Marcus. "Marcus, I want to take you to your first appointment. We should talk about next steps." She glanced at Victor, his back to her, and typed quickly. "Ava, I'd like that. Let me check my schedule." She set her phone down and tried to breathe, but a sudden knock at the door made both her and Victor jump, her heart hammered as she peered through the peephole. It was Jamal, holding a large white envelope and an even larger grin. Ava panicked, two of them, here, at the same time. She motioned for Victor to stay in the kitchen, then stepped into the hallway, closing the door behind her. "Jamal, you didn't say you were coming." Jamal shrugged, his cologne heavy in the narrow hall. "Wanted to surprise you. Got the paperwork for that rental you were interested in. Thought we could sign today." He looked at her, searching her face for something more. "You look tense. Everything okay?" Ava forced a smile. "Just tired, that's all. Come by later. I'm in the middle of something." Jamal hesitated, then nodded, tucking the envelope under his arm. "Anything for you. Take care of yourself, Ava. And the baby." When she got back inside, Victor noticed the slip in her smile. "Everything all right?" She lied easily. "Just my landlord. Nothing important." She leaned into Victor, letting his warmth and faith in her wash over her. For a moment, she believed in the life they were faking together. After Victor left, Ava paced the apartment. The facade was crumbling. The logistics of juggling four men, texts, appointments, stories, were becoming impossible. She opened her laptop and started researching how to keep a secret affair hidden. Paternity test timeline. What happens if more than one man suspects? Every answer made her more anxious. DNA testing had gotten faster, cheaper, and more reliable. It was easy for anyone to buy a home kit, mail it off, and get results in days. The internet was littered with tales of men who'd learned too late that their trust had been misplaced. Some who'd paid child support for years, others whose families imploded overnight. Ava's mother had always told her, "If you're going to gamble, don't bluff unless you're willing to lose it all." That line echoed in her head as she fielded a call from Alex, who was back in town and wanted to take her to dinner. "Just you and me," he insisted. "We should talk about everything." She agreed, though her hands shook as she hung up. Four men. Four stories. And now, the walls were closing in. That afternoon, a thick envelope arrived by courier. No return address. Inside, Ava found a single sheet of paper, a paternity testing consent form, blank but threatening. At the bottom, a handwritten note. "Let's make this official. No more lies." Her breath caught. Someone was getting suspicious. Ava stared out the window, the city below pulsing with secrets and possibility. Her game had always been about control, about staying one step ahead. But now, for the first time, she felt hunted. Tomorrow, she promised herself, she'd tighten her grip, set boundaries, be smarter. But as the sun set, she realized there was no turning back. One of them was on to her. The rest would soon follow. And if the truth came out, she'd lose more than just money. Chapter 3. Ava barely slept that night, haunted by the thought of four men circling the same secret. Her mind spun through worst-case scenarios, confrontations, tears, betrayal, the cold certainty of DNA. She had always believed in her ability to read people, to keep them just far enough apart. but for the first time, the possibility of exposure felt close enough to touch. By morning, the air in her apartment felt heavier, thick with anticipation and regret. She checked her messages, Jamal asking if she needed groceries, Marcus sending an anxious string of texts about vitamins and appointments, Alex insisting on dinner, Victor promising he'd call after work. She responded carefully, crafting every word, knowing a single slip could cost her everything. She tried to focus on normal things, coffee, laundry, bills. But her nerves were raw. Every sound from the hallway made her jump. When the phone rang at noon, she hesitated before answering. Ava? The voice was uncertain, almost sheepish. It was Marcus. Hey, she said, forcing warmth. What's up? Marcus paused, then cleared his throat. Listen, this is awkward, but I need to ask. Are you sure it's mine? The question landed like a punch. Ava's heart raced as she chose her response. Of course, she lied smoothly. You remember that night? You're the only one I've been with in months. He didn't sound convinced. I want to believe you. I really do. But things aren't adding up. My friend, he's a lawyer, he said I should get a DNA test, just to be certain. Not because I don't trust you, but... She cut him off, voice trembling just enough to sound hurt. Marcus, I can't believe you'd say that. After everything... He softened. No, I'm sorry. This is all so sudden. Ava played her part, but as the call ended, a cold wave washed over her. Marcus was the logical one, the fixer. If he started poking holes, the others might follow. She knew she couldn't afford for any of them to talk. She needed a new plan. That afternoon, Ava put on her best dress and met Alex for lunch at a private club downtown. The hostess greeted Alex like an old friend, ushering them to a corner booth with crisp linen and polished glassware. He was all charm, compliments, laughter, inside jokes. But his eyes never quite settled, and there was a hint of calculation in every word. Over appetizers, he leaned in. You know, I had a strange call last night. Guy didn't give his name, said he was worried about you, asked if we were serious, if I knew anything about, well, the baby. Ava feigned surprise. Someone called you? Alex nodded, swirling his wine. Yeah, made me wonder if I was the only one you'd told. For a split second, she froze. Was this a bluff? Or had one of the others broken ranks? She steadied herself. People like to gossip. Maybe it's just someone jealous. Alex smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. Maybe. But I want you to know, if you ever need anything, you can trust me. I can take care of you, Ava. You and the baby. His words lingered, loaded with both promise and threat. When she got home, Ava found another envelope slipped under her door. This one was smaller, hand-addressed. Inside, a single slip of paper. We need to talk, all of us. A place and time were listed, tomorrow night. Her hands shook as she dialed her mother, the only person who'd ever seen through her. Mum, what would you do if, hypothetically, someone was in a bind and everyone was closing in. Her mother's voice was weary, matter of fact. You can't outrun the truth forever, Ava. Sooner or later, it catches up. But if you're smart, you buy yourself time, turn them against each other, make them doubt what they know. Ava hung up, mind racing. She could try to pit the men against each other, stir suspicion, and hope it was enough to distract them. Or she could come clean, take the fallout, and salvage whatever pieces remained. That night, sleep eluded her. She lay awake, listening to the city, honking horns, sirens, footsteps in the hall. She'd always thought she was in control, but now it felt like she was just a piece on someone else's chessboard. As dawn broke, Ava stared at her reflection in the bathroom mirror, searching for the girl who once believed in luck. She had 24 hours to decide, double down on her deception, or finally face the truth. Chapter 4. The hours until nightfall dragged, Ava's nerves frayed with every passing minute. She'd rehearsed a dozen explanations, built escape routes in her head, and yet nothing felt solid. She tried to distract herself with chores, but her hands trembled and she nearly shattered a glass while loading the dishwasher. Each vibration of her phone sent a jolt up her spine. It was as if her lies had become living things, whispering in every shadow of her apartment. The clock inched toward 7. The meeting spot, a quiet, upscale wine bar tucked away on a side street, the kind of place where secrets were currency and privacy came with a price. Ava dressed carefully, understated but polished, hair pulled back to look sincere but not vulnerable. She debated calling off the whole thing, but in her gut, she knew that would only raise more suspicion. Outside, rain slicked the streets, turning neon reflections into streaks of colour. Ava's heels echoed on the wet pavement as she approached the bar. She paused at the door, drew a steadying breath, and pushed. Inside, at a corner table, all 4 men sat waiting. Marcus, Alex, Jamal, and Victor. Their faces were etched with tension, postures stiff. For a moment, nobody spoke. Jamal broke the silence, leaning back with arms crossed. "Glad you could make it, Ava." She slid into the empty seat, her heart thudding. "What's this about?" Alex spoke next, his tone clipped. "We need clarity. No more games." Victor, usually gentle, looked like he'd barely slept. "Ava, you told each of us the same thing, that we're the father. But we talked." She blinked, trying to appear wounded. "You talked?" Marcus's jaw clenched. "Jamal called me. Then I called Victor. Alex already had questions." He pushed a folder across the table, documents inside. "We're not angry. We just want the truth." Ava hesitated, eyes flicking to the papers. She recognized copies of her texts, screenshots, even a photo of her at dinner with Alex. She felt the room closing in. For the first time, she saw herself not as the master of the game, but as prey. Jamal said, "This isn't just about money, Ava. You played with our lives, our feelings." Victor's voice shook. "I bought a crib. I told my mum. Do you know what this feels like?" Ava's own hands trembled now. She scanned their faces, searching for a way out. Tears pricked her eyes, genuine for once. Regret, fear, and anger warring inside her. She whispered, "I'm sorry. I never meant for it to go this far. I was scared. I thought I could figure it out before anyone got hurt." Alex scoffed. "Before anyone got hurt, we all lost something here. Not just money, trust." A pause stretched between them, heavy and suffocating. Then Marcus slid a sealed envelope across the table, a DNA test kit. "We want answers. We want to know the truth. Tonight." Ava's breath caught. In her mind, she weighed every possible move. If she refused, the last shred of goodwill would vanish. If she agreed, the truth would be exposed. But part of her was tired. Tired of the lies, tired of the running. She nodded, voice thin. "Okay, I'll do it." They all left together, a silent procession through the rain. The test itself was quick. A swab, some paperwork, a signature. Nobody spoke, not even as Alex's car pulled away, leaving her alone on the slick sidewalk. Ava wrapped her arms around herself, the city suddenly cold and unfamiliar. The power she'd wielded so easily now slipped through her fingers. The game had changed. It was no longer about manipulation, but survival. Back in her apartment, she replayed every word, every glance from the bar. There was no going back now. By the end of the week, the results would be in. 4 men, 4 hearts, 1 truth. She spent the night staring at the ceiling, haunted by memories, of laughter, gifts, longing, and the echo of her mother's warning, "You can't outrun the truth forever." The rain hammered the windows as Ava finally slept, knowing tomorrow would bring answers and consequences. Chapter 5. Ava awoke to silence, a brief, suffocating stillness before the anxiety rushed back in. The apartment felt colder, every corner echoing with the memory of last night's confrontation. She stared at the ceiling, numb, trying to process how quickly her empire of secrets had fallen. Just days ago, she'd orchestrated every interaction. Now, the future was out of her hands. The men had left her with a DNA kit and a warning. No more games. She had followed their instructions, sealing her sample and handing it off to a courier at sunrise. There was no more stalling. Within days, the truth would arrive in a sterile envelope, a single result capable of destroying what little trust remained. She made coffee but didn't drink it, hands shaking too much to lift the mug. Every time her phone buzzed, her heart stopped. Her mind wandered through old stories, athletes sued for millions in child support, TV exposés about paternity fraud, talk shows where lives exploded over one envelope. The world was full of people like her, people who lied for love, for money, for survival. But rarely did it end well. By noon, she couldn't stand the tension and left her apartment for a walk. Rain had cleared, leaving behind puddles and the faint smell of wet earth. Ava wandered aimlessly, replaying conversations with each man. Marcus's quiet worry, Alex's cold calculation, Jamal's hopeful optimism, Victor's wide-eyed devotion. She wondered if any of them would ever forgive her. As she passed a park, her phone buzzed again. This time it was her mother. She debated answering but finally gave in. "Ava." Her mother's voice was tired, but not unkind. "Yeah, I'm here." "You sound terrible." Ava almost laughed. "You always said the truth would catch up to me. You were right." Her mother sighed. "You can't fix this by running. Maybe you never could. You need to own what you've done." Ava's throat tightened. "What if they never forgive me?" "Then you move on. But at least you'll know you tried." They spoke a little longer, about nothing and everything, and for the first time in days, Ava felt something like relief. No more pretending, no more dodging questions. The only thing left was to face whatever came next. That evening, Victor called. His voice was thin, trembling. "I wanted to check on you, make sure you're okay." She closed her eyes. "I'm trying. I wish it could have been different," he said and hung up. Later, she received a message from Jamal. "Results come tomorrow. For what it's worth, I hope you find some peace." Even Alex, usually so distant, sent a terse but honest text. "No matter what, you should get help. This isn't normal." She expected anger, but what cut deepest was the grief and disappointment in every word. That night, sleep was impossible. Her dreams were jagged, flashes of cribs and wedding rings, gifts piling up, all the moments she'd faked affection to keep her game going. But it wasn't just the men she'd deceived. She'd lied to herself too, believing she was in control, that she could balance so many lives without falling. When the sun rose, Ava knew it was time. She sat by her window, watching as the city began to move. Somewhere out there, four men were waiting for the same answer she was. And whatever the envelope said, nothing could ever return to the way it was. Her phone buzzed again, a group text this time. Marcus had created it, and all four men were included. "Meeting at the bar, noon. We open the results together." Ava's breath caught in her throat. She responded with a simple, "Okay." Then she got up, got dressed, and tried to steady her nerves. It was almost over. The game, the lies, the power. All she could do was walk into the storm she'd created and face whatever was waiting on the other side. Chapter 6. Ava walked to the wine bar in a fog, her pulse a distant drum in her ears. Noon was a knife's edge. She could feel the world tilting under her feet, the past week playing